Scripture lesson for this morning, our first reading, will come from Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. We'll be reading from the third chapter of the book of Galatians and reading from verses 23 through 29. So let us listen to God's word for us. Now, before faith came, we were confined under the law, kept under restraint until faith should be revealed, so that the law was our custodian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a custodian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Our gospel reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke. And we'll be reading from chapter 8 of Luke's Gospel, verses 26 through 39. Again, let us listen to God's word to us. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And as he, Jesus, stepped on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he lived not in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beseech you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him, and he was kept under guard and bound with chains and fetters. But he broke the bounds and was driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them leave. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how he who had been possessed with demons was healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but he sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel reading for this morning, our Lord has been traveling along the lake, actually the Sea of Galilee, as it is called. And he finally comes ashore in the country of the Gerasenes, which was Gentile territory, which many Jews would have considered to be unclean territory, a place fit only for outsiders and unclean animals like swine herds. We might think of all the places in our own day and age that are considered to be unclean, places where most people might not want to go, places where many people might feel unsafe. But this is where Jesus is at this morning. He's in the country of the Gerasenes. And as he gets off the boat, he is presented with a strange occurrence. A man from the tombs comes out to greet him. Not just any man, but rather a demoniac, a man whose very life has been taken over by forces and by powers that are beyond his control. Forces and powers that drive him away from his true humanity and defaces the very image of God that has been marked on this man's life. This man, we are told, lives in the tombs with the dead. That is, he's been cut off from the rest of society. He's been alienated away from all the things that really bring life to people and communities. The town folk are understandably afraid of this man. They seek to contain him with chains and with fetters, but the chains he wrenches apart and the fetters he smashes into pieces. Building more prisons is not the answer. If the town folk want to be free of this demon, if they want to be free of this demoniac, then this man is going to have to be set free from the forces and the powers that have control of his life. Now, I realize this morning that we live in a day and an age where most people don't believe in demonic forces that jump in and out of people. We tend to look for more rational and scientific explanations for this kind of behavior. But the Bible tells us that the demonic spirits are real. We see them all the time. Spirits of drugs, spirits of alcoholism, spirits of homelessness, spirits of lovelessness. The Bible says to test the spirits to see if they are from God. And any spirit that defaces our God-given humanity, any spirit that turns us against ourselves, any spirit that separates us from the life-giving power of God is an unclean demonic spirit. That's what this man is possessed with in our text this morning. He is filled to the brim with unclean spirits. But today is a good day because this man has come face to face with Jesus. This man has come face to face with the liberating power of God in the world, face to face with the one who can liberate him from his demons. One of the necessary prerequisites of getting rid of demonic powers in our life, of course, is to name them. One of the things that drug addicts and alcoholics have to do is they have to admit that they are addicted. They have to name the fact that they are alcoholics. They have to name the fact that they are drug addicts. They have to admit that they have a power that is bigger than themselves. And so Jesus asked this man to name the spirits that have control of his life. We sometimes, too, have to name the larger structural spirits that dominate our lives. Not just the individual spirits of drug addiction or alcohol use, but also the broader structural spirits that sometimes comes to control and dominate whole societies and whole communities. Spirits of racism, spirits of sexism, spirits of greed. There are all kinds of spirits out there that separate us from one another, that separate us from the love of God, and that turn us against ourselves. But those spirits have to be named and identified. And Jesus asked this man, or rather Jesus asked the demons that control this man's life, what is your name? And the man replies, or rather the demons that control the man's life reply, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now you history buffs will know that Legion is an interesting insertion of Latin into the Greek text here, because Legion was the name of the Roman army. It was the force that occupied or possessed, if you will, the whole region, not just the Gerasenes, but the whole region. And so when this man says that he His name is Legion. He's not just talking about the number of devils that have control of his life, but he's talking about their strength. He's talking about their power. He's talking about the fact that these demons have set him against himself. They control his heart, his imagination, his will. He doesn't have the power to rid himself of these demons because they utterly control his life. The anthropologist René Girard has an interesting interpretation about this text. He believes that this man is the community scapegoat, that he is the repository of the community's perversity. Every society has its scapegoats, people who are usually weak and vulnerable. They're usually blamed for society's ills, but usually they reflect the pathologies of the society at large. Scapegoats are usually the poor. Sometimes they're weak and vulnerable minorities. Sometimes they're immigrants, but they're scapegoats, and society often heaps all of the problems of society onto its scapegoats. For instance, right now, when we are experiencing a period of economic stress, we usually don't blame the people who are responsible for causing that economic distress. It's usually easier to blame the scapegoats. We usually blame it on the immigrants, for instance. They're the ones who caused the problems. They're the ones there's not enough jobs. They're the reason there's not enough jobs. It's their fault. But sometimes we blame the poor. It's their fault because they don't have a job. It's their fault because unemployment is hovering around 10%. It's their fault. We blame the scapegoats. We look for the weak and the vulnerable people to blame. And René Girard said that's what this man is to the region of the Gerasenes. He's their scapegoat. He's living out their definitions of who they believe that he is. But he is actually reflecting the perversity of the whole region. He's reflecting the pathologies of the whole region. The unclean spirits, of course, in our world, they don't go quietly. The spirits in this text this morning, for instance, they don't want to go. They want to negotiate with Jesus. They're strong, so they don't go easily. They never do. They negotiate. They want to go into the pigs. And so Jesus sends them away into the pigs where they are ultimately destroyed. Because Jesus is the one who brings life. Jesus is the one who can free us from our demons, from our unclean spirits. The thing that has always intrigued me about this story of the demoniac is not the power of the demons. After all, by the time we get to chapter 8 in Luke's gospel, we already know that Jesus is the one who has power and authority. We know that Jesus is the one who comes with the authority of God, the authority of heaven. He's already calmed the storm. He's already raised people from the dead. He's already healed people. So by the time we get here to chapter 8, we know that Jesus is going to have no problem with the legion full of demons. But what has always intrigued me about this text is the reaction of the people, the surrounding people of the Gerasene community. You would think that they would be elated that this man who was in their midst, that this man who was naked and homeless, is now clothed and in his right mind. You'd think they'd be happy. But the text tells us that the people are not only afraid, but they tell Jesus to leave. Imagine that. Telling Jesus, the author of life, we don't want you here, Jesus, leave. After all, if Jesus is powerful enough to rid the man of his demons, he's also powerful enough to rid them of their demons as well. And there's something about us human beings that even though we're made in the image of God, even though we were made to have fellowship with God, we don't want to be liberated. We don't want to be set free. We would rather have our demons. And so that's what these people here in Gerasa, in the Gerasene, say. Get away from us, Jesus. We don't want your liberating, life-giving power. Get away from us, Jesus. We don't want to be rid of our demons, our unclean spirits. We prefer things just the way that they are. Get away from us, Jesus. We would rather have our unclean spirits. We would rather have you to leave than rather our unclean spirits leave. Get away from us. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't try to argue with them. He doesn't try to argue with them or get them to see the light. Instead, he simply gets into his boat and he leaves. Part of what it means to live a hellish existence is to be left to our own devices, left with our own demons. We recognize that none of us can save ourselves. None of us can extricate ourselves from the forces and powers of death that have control of our lives. If we're going to be liberated, if we're going to be set free, we need the power of God in our lives. But yet we often resist that power. And so sometimes we have to hit rock bottom. Sometimes God allows us to live out the logic of the unclean spirits that have control over our lives. That's not just true for individuals, it's also true of societies as well. God has us to live out the logic of what we want to believe in. And that's the way it is in our society as well. God says, you want to live according to the unclean spirit of greed in your midst? If that's the way you want to live, then I'm going to allow you to live out the logic of that. Here's what it means. It's going to mean the collapse of your, or near collapse of your economy. It's going to mean the destruction of your environment. It's going to mean disparity in the rates of living between those who have and those who have not. That's what it's going to mean. If you want to continue to live out this unclean spirit, if you want to continue to live out the logic of that, that's what it's going to mean, the collapse of your economy. If you want to live out hatred and dissension, if you want to live out racial strife, this is what it's going to mean. It's going to mean constant conflict and violence. It's going to look like Darfur, or it's going to look like Israel-Palestine, or it's going to look like what Rwanda looked like in the 1990s with people killing each other. That's what it's going to mean. If you want to live that out, that's what it's going to mean. If you want a sexual revolution, you can live that way, but this is what it's going to mean. If you want to hop in and out of people's beds and have serial sexual relationships, what it's going to mean is a barren psychological landscape where men and women can't trust each other, where nothing is stable. People can't come together. That's what it's going to mean. God allows us to live out the logic of our unclean spirits, not because God wants to get us, but because to live our lives apart from God is not to live at all. Only God can show us how to live. Only God can give us the power to live. Only God can help us to be rid of the demons that control our lives. And so Jesus doesn't argue with the Gerasenes. Instead, he gets on his boat and he leads them to their own unclean spirits. But he doesn't leave them alone entirely. He leaves a witness there with them. He leaves the man who he has healed of the demons. The man is no fool. He's been liberated. He's been set free. He's experienced new life in God. He's experienced a life in Jesus Christ. And now he wants to go with Jesus. He doesn't want to stay there. He doesn't want to stay there and be the scapegoat of the people. He doesn't want to stay there with the people of the Gerasenes. But he wants to go with Jesus. But Jesus tells him, no, stay here. I want you to stay here in this community, and I want you to bear witness to this community about what it means to live a life of liberation, to live a life that's free from the unclean spirits that have control of the whole region. Friends, this morning, we are that man. We are that demoniac. Only we've been set free. We're that community that has been set free of the demons. We're that community that has been set free from the unclean spirits that used to have control of our lives. But now we are a community that's clothed and in our right mind. We are a community that has been clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened at our baptism. We're no longer controlled by the forces and powers of death. We're no longer controlled by the unclean spirits that run rampant in our world. We're no longer controlled by categories like race or sex. We're no longer controlled by economic categories of rich and poor. We're no longer controlled by any of those spiritual forces. We are now a new community that whose identity has been forged in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus has told us to stay here. Stay here in this world. Stay here in this community. Stay here and bear witness to people what it means to live the new life that God has called us to live. Stay here and bear witness what it means to live a liberated existence, a godly existence. I want you to stay right here. and bear witness to the people who desperately need to know what it means to live a liberated life, the new life that God in Christ has come to show us how to live. In Mark's gospel, we are told that Jesus comes back through the region of the Gerasenes. And when he comes back through, the whole community comes out to greet Jesus. The whole community comes out to give him praise. The whole community comes out to worship him. The result of the witness of one man, that Gerasene demoniac. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back to reconcile this whole world and to himself. And it is our hope that because of the witness that we bear here in this world, in this community, in this city, that when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes back, this whole community will greet and bear witness and give praise to the God who comes to bring us life because they've seen life lived out in our midst. This whole community, black people, white people, yellow people, males, females, everybody coming out to bear witness, to recognize that we are one people, that we belong to God, and God is the source of our lives. We are called to help this community get rid of the demons, to point in the direction of life, to get rid of the demons that control and run rampant in our world. We are called to bear witness to the one who has come, who has power and authority over the demons, and who has power and authority over our lives as well. If you are here this morning and you want to get rid of the unclean spirits that are controlling your life, if you are here this morning, no matter what you might be going through, maybe it is alcoholism, maybe it's drug addiction, maybe it's gambling, maybe you're addicted to sex, maybe you're addicted to power. Maybe you're addicted to greed. Maybe you're addicted to money. Whatever you're addicted to, know that God wants to liberate you. That God wants to set you free. That God wants to give you life and have you to have that life in abundance. If you are here, I'll ask you to come forward this morning as we sing our final hymn.